We shall now turn to the chapter which we read, 2 Kings chapter 6, and we shall read again verse 5. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." Here we have the story of one of the sons of the prophets losing an axe head. It fell into the River Jordan. And then we're told how Elisha cut down some wood, threw it into the Jordan, the axe head floated, and the man was able to get it again. Why is that story in the Bible? What are we to learn from it? The previous chapter talks about important people. Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria. We're told about the king of Israel and the king of Syria. Later on in chapter 6, we're told about, again, war. Armies from Syria coming into Israel. You've got all these important international events. And in the middle of it all, we're told the story of a very ordinary man, don't know his name, who lost an axe head, was troubled about it, and then he recovered it again. What does that tell us? What are we to learn from it? Surely, it tells us that God is interested not just in big important people, but in ordinary people like you and me. It tells us that God is not just interested in international affairs. In warfare. But he's also interested in the little details of our day-to-day lives. And when things go wrong, God is there. Our God is able to help. Our God is willing to help. Our God is our Father who is in heaven. Our God, we have access to him through our prophet, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Elisha of the New Testament. And he is making continual intercession for us. And when we come with our troubles and our difficulties, our problems and our perplexities, our worries and our fears, we have an advocate with the Father. And God loves to help. And God always blesses. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, first of all, we have here a needy man. We're told that the school or the seminary where the young prophets or preachers were being trained was too straight, too narrow, too small. That's encouraging. It's good to hear of lots of young men training for the ministry. They want to hear of that. Because if God is calling men into the ministry, then he must have a ministry for them. God is in control, and God is the one who gives ministers. And God is the one who gives congregations and areas of service for ministers and missionaries. In the days of Elijah, things were very dark. You remember how Elijah spoke at Mount Horeb. Lord, they have slain thy prophets. They have digged down thine altars. They have ruined thy churches. And I, even I only, am left alone. And they seek my life to destroy it. How lonely Elijah felt. God said to him, I have 7,000 men reserved from me in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal. But they were very hidden. And Elijah got little comfort from the fact that there were some faithful men hidden away in different corners of the land. But now it's a new day. The sons of the prophets. Elisha is there. And he goes round training and teaching these men for the ministry that they will have. And there's so many of them in this center near the Jordan, very likely Jericho, that the house where they are staying and being trained is too small. And then you notice the initiative. The men didn't say, well, Elisha, get us a bigger house. Or perform a miracle to give us some big house to, nice big new college to live in. No, they did what they could. And they said to Elisha, let's go and build a bigger place. We'll all go down to the Jordan, to the forest by the river. We'll cut some wood there. We'll take it back and we'll build a more suitable place for us. It's good to see their initiative. They're not waiting to receive everything on a plate for them. Sitting round as spongers, as it were, but rather they're up and about and active and looking for the opportunity to do what they can. So off they go down to the Jordan and they start cutting wood. But disaster. One man, as he's felling a tree near the Jordan, the head of the axe flies off, lands in the river, and it's deep. There's no sign of the axe. How are they going to get it back? Alas, master, it was borrowed. Maybe you feel well. So what, an axe head? We could go to B&Q or its equivalent and get another one, surely. But he didn't have the money. And what we fail to realize too is perhaps that an axe head in those days was something very costly. That was a way back in the time when there wasn't much iron produced, the beginning of the Iron Age. I suppose in some ways, the story we have here would be something like one of us borrowing another person's car and then wrecking it. And that would be troubling, particularly if you didn't have any money to buy a car in the first place. A few thousand pounds in debt. How could he pay it back? What was he going to do? What was he going to say? It was worrying to this man. Was he going to end up as a debtor? Was he going to have to sell himself into slavery in order to pay back his debt? Problems. There are so many problems in life. So many difficulties. Some of them big, others small. But as we make our way through life, it seems to be a series of problems, isn't it? A series of challenges. There are these awkward times, difficult times. Why does it happen this way? Why does it happen at this time? How am I going to cope with this situation? Things go wrong. Maybe you have an accident. Maybe you've lost something. Maybe some illness. Some trouble comes your way. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Well, there's nothing surer than the sparks flying upward if you've got a fire. And man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. But friends, there's always an answer. As sure as the sparks fly upward, there's a God who's able to help in the heavens above. And it's the same with your soul's salvation. Are you a lost soul tonight? Remember, there's an answer. There's a place to go. There's one who can save. There's one who hears and who answers prayer. So that leads us then, secondly, to notice his prayer for help. Verse 3 tells us that one of the sons of the prophets said to Elisha, "Be content and go with us down to the Jordan." That's very important. What if Elisha hadn't gone? Then he wouldn't be there and he wouldn't be able to help. And this man's axe head would have remained in the river. And the man would have had all the problems to sort out. But you see God's providence. God's providence led Elijah to go with the sons of the prophets. And that was vital for the answer to the prayer. Because you see, the amazing thing is, God knows the prayers we're going to pray tomorrow, today. And God has made provision for the answers to next year's prayers already. Isn't that wonderful? Elisha was there. God led Elisha to be there. God is working out all things for good. Before you call, I will answer. And God answers prayer in amazing ways. But more amazing than that itself is that the answers are on their way before the need is there. God has everything planned. He's never taken by surprise. God is not reacting to circumstances. But the future is like the past to God, the eternal God, the sovereign God, the God who is over all, and the God who knows today, tomorrow, and next year, and next century. The man cries out, "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." Now the prophet here stands as a type of Christ. Christ is the great prophet. We were considering that this morning, weren't we? Christ, the great prophet, the great teacher of his disciples. And then, after his resurrection, he ascended up to heaven. And he continues his prophetic work through the Spirit of Christ, the Comforter, whom he has sent, who takes of the things of Christ and reveals them unto us. Well, here, the prophet stands for Christ. "Alas, Master, for it was borrowed." Come to Christ. Come to the great prophet. Come with your prayers. Come with your needs. Pray to him. He intercedes with the Father for you. He is merciful, faithful, and sympathetic. Roman Catholics say, we need the Virgin Mary. She's got a woman. She's a woman. She's got a woman's heart. So tender. So understanding. They think it's so wonderful to come to Mary and then Mary can go to Jesus for us. But what an insult that is to Jesus. Do you think there's any woman in this earth or any woman in heaven who has a more tender heart than Jesus? Who's more sympathetic than Jesus? Is our Lord Jesus Christ limited in his sympathy? That he needs the help of a woman, even of his mother? No. We have a merciful and faithful high priest. He was tempted in all points, like as we are. He knows the trials and the troubles of life. He knows the pains and the sufferings. He knows what it is to go through hunger and thirst and tiredness. And oh, what sufferings he endured. And because he's perfect, he's so sympathetic, so caring, so loving. We don't need the Virgin Mary. We don't need any earthly priest. We don't need any earthly saint to intercede for us. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, the great mediator, the great intercessor. Come to him. He understands and he says to us, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're struggling, you're groaning, you're troubled, you're burdened, you're anxious, you're frightened. Come to me. Come to me with your burdens. Come to me with your labors. Come in your fear to me. Come pour out your heart to me. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. That's our Lord Jesus coming. He's saying, come to me, and I will come to you with answers and with blessings. Come with the little things as well as the big things. Come with the problems of the world. Come with the problems of the church. Come with the problems of your soul. Come with the day-to-day problems. Come to Christ and tell him about the axe head that you've lost. Come tell him about that purse or wallet that you've dropped. Ask him to guide you, to direct you, to help you. To help you through whatever the difficulty is. The complicated form that you've got to fill in. The awkward situation in which you find yourself. He has the answer. Is it a problem in the family? Come to him with it. Is it a problem at your work? Come to him with it. Is it a problem amongst your neighbors? Come to him with you, with your problem. Is it a problem with your health? Come to him, the great physician. Is it a problem with your soul? Come to him, the one who heals not just the body, but the soul. Thirdly, we have here the caring prophet. When the sons of the prophets asked him to come with them, he came. He helped. He was prepared to get his hands dirty. He didn't say, well, now you go down to the Jordan and cut the wood there and do that work. I've got more important things to deal with. I've got spiritual matters to deal with. You go and do the work down there at the Jordan and cut the wood and build the house. And once you build the house, I'll come in and I'll give you lectures. No. Not only did he give them lectures, but he showed them the practicalities of godliness. Was it not like that with our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Elisha? They came to the Last Supper, the Passover, and there wasn't one disciple prepared to get the basin and the towel and wash the feet of the others. So who does it? Our great example. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. If I, your Lord and Master, wash your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of the brethren. What an example he is to us. He will take the lowest position, and that is a challenge to you and me. Don't see any task too menial to do it for Christ or for his people. So there he was, Elisha, down by the river, chopping the wood, and he hears the cry of the man beside him, "Alas, Master, it was borrowed." "Where did it fall?" Elisha asks. The man points at the pool in the river. Elisha cuts down a branch and throws it into the river. It reminds us of the time when Elisha came to Jericho and they asked him about the water. The waters of Jericho were poisonous. They had an effect of causing miscarriages. "This is a beautiful city, a pleasant outlook, but the water is not. The water's not good." And Elisha took a cruse of salt, bowl of salt, and threw the salt into the spring of water. And it was healed. It wasn't the salt that did it. The salt was just a sign. On another occasion, you remember in the famine, how there was the big pot of stew was on, and somebody had put wild gourds into it, and there was death in the pot. It was poisonous. They couldn't eat it. And Elisha took some meal and threw a handful of meal into the pot. And it was perfectly good. It wasn't that the meal got rid of the poison. The meal was just a sign. And so here, when Elisha throws the twig into the river, it's not a magical twig that makes iron float. The twig is simply a sign. And then the iron floats up to the surface. Here we have the caring prophet, caring about this man's distress, his worry, his trouble, caring about his lost axe head. And if Elisha cared for this man, how much more does our Lord Jesus Christ care for you and me? Whatever we've lost, whatever is bothering us, whatever our trouble or our burden, Jesus cares. "Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall be sustained." He shall care for you. Come to him with your worries and your troubles, and he will answer you. So we have here then the caring prophet, and then finally, the power of God. When the stick is cast into the water, the axe head floats, the man reaches out, picks it up. And what is this telling us? It's telling us about the power of God, how almighty
God is.
There's no limits. In the ordinary course of nature, iron would never float in water. But then you remember Jesus. You remember Jesus when he had to get across the Lake of Galilee. He walked on the water. The liberals say he walked on a sandbank. Or they say the water was shallow at that place. Utter nonsense. No, Jesus walked on the waters, walked on the waves where Peter was sinking. The laws of nature are there. And laws are what normally and naturally happens. But not even the laws of nature are above God. God can do anything. Anything that glorifies him. There is no limit to his power. Jesus could walk on the waters. He could take 5 loaves and 2 fish, and with them feed 5,000 men. He could touch a man with leprosy, and the man was healed. He could say to a dead man, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead man came out of the grave. And here we see one who was a type of Christ in Old Testament times, casting a stick into the river. Just like Jesus, sometimes he would use signs. Remember when he spat on the ground and mixed up some clay, and he took that clay and he put it on the eyes of the blind man and said, "Go and wash." The man washed and received his sight. Was this some magical new way of healing people? Was it that the clay somehow or other took away the scales on the man's eyes? No. It was simply a sign. Just like the stick thrown into the river, it was a sign, and the power of God accompanied the sign. What is it that's troubling you? What worries you? What are the things that are bothering you? Whatever they are, come, ask. Commit it to the Lord. Remember, if God can make iron float in a river, surely he can do anything. That's a miracle. And our God is the God of miracles. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Whatever the trouble, pray. Look to the Lord for answers. And he will give you answers. Pray for your soul, especially. And make sure that your soul has salvation. Here was a man concerned about an axe head. Well, there's things more important than axe heads. Even if the axe head would have cost to us thousands of pounds, at the end of the day, what is money? And what is thousands of pounds if we end up in hell? What shall it profit a man though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So friends, the most important thing that we have to make sure of is that we have Christ. Ask, seek, knock, and you will find. Seek the Lord for yourself and make sure you have him. And having sought the Lord as your Savior, remember, the Lord is always there to save, to help, And he's always interested. And maybe you think, my problems, I don't want to bother the Lord with them. The Lord loves to have his children coming to him and bothering him. He loves to hear our prayers. And one of the reasons why he sends troubles to us is because we're doing so little prayer. And if we prayed more, what wonderful answers we would see. He sends these troubles so that he will encourage us to pray. Just like an earthly father loves to have his children coming to him and sitting on his knee and asking for things, how much more our Father in heaven loves you to come, to sit on his knee, to speak in his ear. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you.